Sunday Morning Coming Down is sponsored by Cub. The weather's kind of turned on us a little bit. I was hoping to grill some of these pub burgers and Sheboygan sausages maybe tomorrow night. Anything's possible. We're going to check out Tim McGraw tonight at the X. So maybe Sunday night, maybe Monday night, shoot a little video of that. But Cub is local. There are people. They're one of us. They're our hometown grocer. You got to check them out. Some of them have liquor stores attached. They do deliver at cub.com. Check out these 6-ounce pub burgers. I got some with jalapeno and cheese and some regular. And Sheboygan is a Twins hot dog, which isn't going that well so far this year. Even my boy Joe Ryan got beat up today. But check out Cub. They're one of us. They're awesome. They love sports, and they're good to pull tab sports. That's Cub.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down, episode 211. Part of the Pull Tab Sports family here, folks. I wrote a thesis with my business partner, Tom. Tom's watched the new Roadhouse maybe 30 times. I think he might have watched the old one 5 times. He could do a thesis paper on it. And so we decided to collaborate. We took the old movie against the new movie. 12 rounds, head-to-head, 12 categories. Everything from gratuitous nudity to supporting cast to hair, villain, residence. It's all in there. It is the most detailed. Basically, we tried way, way, way too hard on this thing. So if you like the new Roadhouse or the old one or whatever, check that out. It's on Pull Tab Sports. Kids are gone. Frozen Four, another L. Boston College defeated by the evil Denver, who now has 10 titles. Disgusting. Minnesota has 5. Boston College has 5. They are a multiple of us. Not great. I'll give you a positive and I'll give you a few. First of all, the Frozen Four is a kick-ass event if you like college hockey. The fact that our content guy found about 50 of the 65 college D1 college program jerseys on the first night of the Frozen Four is unbelievable. It's truly a showcase of college hockey. If you like college hockey, this is like going to Disney. It's cool. So check it out in your lifetime. The next city is St. Louis. I'm hearing mixed reviews about that. And then obviously Las Vegas after that, which would be a good one to dip your toe into the water, should you so choose. Minnesota got really lucky on Saturday. It was about 80 degrees. I sat outside of some new place called Smorgies in the sun, buying buckets of drinks. It was awesome. I was tuned up when we went in, and then we got smothered by Denver. But you know what? That was good. The other good thing was, and this is the theme of this entire episode, Thursday night, we're in the box, RBC Suite, which kind of turned into the RBC Suite as it was filled with Boston College students and alumni. And one of them was this kid. He's like 14 years old. He's super funny. You can see him on our Pull Tab feed. But he's friends with some of the BC guys, and I was like, God, you know what? Let's throw this guy in a suit with a microphone and have him work the red carpet when BC comes in for the championship. And we set it on a whim Thursday night in the heat of the victory over, who did we beat, Michigan? And then, you know, the next day his dad sent me a text, hey, he's interested. He wants to do this for real. We did it. We bought a microphone. He got a salmon suit on. And I'll tell you, doing what I do for a living, being a content person now, made me feel really good. Here's a kid. He's creative. He's young. He wanted to try something. We didn't know how it would go. It ended up being good. Like, the players couldn't really talk to him because they were locked in for the big championship. But I'm glad I did it. And I think generally with creative things, you just got to say, yeah, what the hell? It looks like it might work. That's kind of like, that's the first rule of creative. Like, this might work. And you have to forget the other part, that it might not work. You know, you might have broken a child labor law and wasted a bunch of people's time. But that's not what happened. But, like, it might work. So just remember that. Words of wisdom, if you've ever heard it before. That cough, I think I got the little C, maybe, or I had it. I'm a hockey guy, so you'll never know. No test, no tell. But went down pretty hard this week after the kids left, and just has been kind of wiped out. Now, I can't even say that. I can't say that I think I have the little C, because that'll rile everybody up and all this. But I have a cold, and it was a bad cold for sure. But I'll give you a couple other. I'll give you an old man thought from the Frozen Four. Do you remember tickets? Okay. Back in the day, we used to buy tickets to an event. You would get the tickets. Either you would go to a box office or they would come to you in the mail. And then when somebody else wanted to use those tickets, you would hand them to them. Maybe drive them to them. Maybe leave them under their front mat at their home. Any number of things. Leave them at will call for them was a common thing to do. Man, tickets are so terrible now. Like the process. Like the... You know, I got it from, you know, some app. Maybe it's StubHub. It's going to go into my Ticketmaster. Somebody sent them to me from someplace. They transferred it. I got to get it in my Apple Wallet. But if it's in my Apple Wallet, can I send it to somebody else? I'm not sure. I got to go back to the original email. Then I can send it to someone else. But then what happens to the ones in my wallet? I'm just saying, as an old dude, tickets were cool. You also could staple them on your wall when you got home after a big game, or keep them in your wallet if it was a lucky victory. If BC would have won on Saturday, I would have kept that championship ticket in my wallet maybe, if I had a ticket. And I'm not talking about my Apple Wallet. God, I sound healthy, don't I? It's been a tough go here, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. The end of the night, Saturday, we really upheld our mission with the children visiting. I think we did everything they wanted to do, whether it was eating Sam Thai food or going on a walk. We went to Mancini's, even though we lost. This was a little bit, I was ready to go home. I can get sour. I can just be like, let's go. We've had enough fun today. Let's go smoke a cigar and drown our sorrows and go to bed. Family convinced me, mostly Stacy, that we should go to Mancini's. I'm glad we did. Got to dance a little bit, lose on some pull tabs. Then on the way home, stopped at White Bear Bar. Unnecessary stop, except we did win like $300 playing pull tabs. I got to tell you, my son has learned strange pull tab values. So I don't know how he learned this. So if you're in with someone doing pull tabs, that's your team. That's your ride or die. So what he likes to do is go rogue. I think this is pretty common in pull tab circles. I did not teach him this. I don't feel good about this. But he likes to go rogue. So this is a great moment. So I spend like $400 at Mancini's chasing this box. Maybe he's in for $100. Maybe. We lose. Bloodbath. There's blood all over Mancini's like a Scorsese movie. Now we get to White Bear Bar and I'm like, hey, let's hit this box, try to get well, new environment. But I basically have already taken out like $400, $300 out of my ATM. So I'm like, you got to lead here. You know, you're wearing the yellow jersey. So he gets a couple $100 out and we hit a bunch of winners. And then he looks at me and he's like, something like, Yeah, I'll give you 50 out of this because, you know, you were riding with me earlier. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hell to the no, buddy. This was all one session. Half of this is mine. Don't kid yourself. And he did pay, but that was just a great moment. I wonder if other people have pull tab people that sort of forget that. Like if you basically tap somebody out and they're riding with you and then you haven't really put as much in and you do it at the next bar, like they're still with you. They're on your team. Don't kid yourself. Man, a lot of full baskets of losers. That's a bad feeling. I feel like that's Minnesota sports right now. You know, like this basket of cardboard. And you really want the waitress to come pick it up so that no one sees it. Like no one realizes how big a loser you are. You're like, hey, can you get the tower, you know, the champagne tower of cardboard that's sitting in front of me? Would you mind taking that away so nobody knows that I have a giant neon L on my forehead? Maybe the Timberwolves will change that. Some of my hockey boys are sliding into the basketball ant, Michael Jordan-like. I'm looking at a Michael Jordan sports card right now in front of me. I don't know if he's that good, but probably not. The other thing I learned this week is I went on a walk with my wife on maybe Sunday, and it was kind of a ambitious, you know, we had the long Saturday night with the Mancini's and the White Bear Bar, but didn't feel great, but wanted to do something so it wasn't another wasted day, right? Like, what can we do to get something on the board that's constructive? We go on this walk. I think it was nice out, but we go on this walk. It was. And that was part of the reason we felt bad. Like, we got to go do something because even though we're banged up, we gotta play hurt. We go out, and about halfway through the walk, she's like, hey, man, I'm going to need to eat something on this walk. I don't feel great. And she's like, we're going to McDonald's, okay? So we're gonna tie in McDonald's on this walk, which is possible with our walk because we kind of come around White Bear Lake and there's a McDonald's sort of on the edge of where we do our loop. Like, all right, fine. And I'm like, but I'm also selfishly, this is like the pull tab thing. I'm like, what's for me at McDonald's? I don't eat bread. I'm like, this sucks. She's like, you'll get some fries. You'll have some of my pop. Fine. Okay, she's going to get a burger. This fountain soda from McDonald's, I know everybody knows it. Like, everyone talks about it. But what they really say is it's different. They say the Coke at McDonald's is different than the regular Coke, even from another fountain. What they don't explicitly tell you, I know this is out there. I know that people know if you go get McDonald's the day after drinking, you feel better. And I think I would have felt even better if I was able to eat a hamburger, but I can't with the bread. But what I will tell you, this Coke, this elixir, this tonic, it's unbelievable. I drank it. I guess it's just more carbonated, and I was like, I can feel my hangover going away. This is like a Gatorade commercial where the color goes in from like the top of your head down into your chest and like pushes out the bad things. So hey, if you're ever feeling a little bit less than 100%, I would say a lot less than 100%, because maybe if you just roll into a McDonald's on a regular day and get a Coke, that might make you feel worse. I think it's almost like you got to be so far bad that to go around the world, instead of coming back the direction you came, you got to go forward the other way. That's why McDonald's is the solution. It's unorthodox. It's unexpected. But actually, the thing that's going to make you feel good is like a happy meal at McDonald's. I know it sounds weird, but when you're that far gone, in order to spin around the world, you got to keep going the direction you're going. I think that's what it's about. But this damn Coke at McDonald's, better than any. I mean, who needs liquid? Who needs an IV? Who needs to go get an IV in Las Vegas? Just go to a McDonald's and get a Coke. It's been there for us the whole time. A quick update. We got these kids that fish the docks in White Bear. They're the coolest kids. It's basically like, if you ever come out here this summer to see like Tally's and Aqua and the VFW, or you want to go on a little podcast field trip, they're these fisher kids. They're like 12. They just wear like flat brims. They got kind of mullets. they just hammer the docks. They don't have a boat. They're so young, they don't have a boat, so they just fish like the marina, right? Well, I got news for you. The Fisher kids got an upgrade. They used to be backpack fishermen. We've talked about them on the podcast before. These guys, somebody for Christmas must have got a Burley. It's one of these little strollers you take kids in. And they outfitted this thing with PVC pipe, like four tubes, and they stick their rods in there, and they roll around on their bikes with the Burley attached to the back as basically a fishing camper, a fishing trailer. America is alive and well. Don't believe what they're saying to you. I've been listening to a Sammy Hagar Audible book biography called Red. I love doing stuff like this. Just taking an autobiography written by the second lead singer of Van Halen, probably published in 1997, and listening to it on an audiobook. Like, what voice does Sammy Hagar choose to read his life story? It is great. And some of it's like politically incorrect because how he's talking is not how you would talk today. I don't know that I've found any wisdom. I have a great story for you, which is he wrote I Can't Drive 55. That was one of his solo hits. I can't drive 55. And he said since he wrote that song, he's been pulled over like 200 times in his life because he loves driving fast. He's got all the race cars. Never gets a ticket because it's like a punchline. So when you're a cop and you pull over Sammy Hagar and he's not going 55, he's speeding, and you see him and you see his name on the license, you're like, no one's going to believe it anyway. Just let him go. So I just thought it's almost like worth listening to the entire 7-hour audiobook just for the sheer fact that by writing I Can't Drive 55, Sammy Hagar has never been ticketed by our law enforcement in multiple states for his entire life. Hey, we are sponsored by Custom One. Get out there. If you're looking at houses, man, you're already late, right? It's like it's past Super Bowl. These guys build the kind of houses you would see on the Spring Parade of Homes. You might see it on the Artisan Home Tour. These are the grand houses that lift the value of your entire neighborhood. We're talking like backyard pizza ovens, giant pantries, big doors that feel like they should have a knocker on them. I'd call them a dream home, but Custom One makes them reality. They have for 40 years. They do everything from renovations to landscaping to builds. I hope to someday have them do my basement if I can keep them around Pull Tab Sports long enough. They give a ton of dough to charity. I know they're giving some to the Shine a Light Festival coming up here in early May as well. So Custom One, they're awesome. Check them out. So we talked about glimmers and triggers last time, which is probably nonsense. But I do like the idea that if triggers is sort of like the most woke sort of modern day excuse for things, then maybe glimmers could be the opposite of that, and like looking for good, right? Looking for joy, trying to have joy triggers, which is a glimmer. And I did think about it more, and I do think here's a couple glimmers for you. When you stop at a crosswalk like 8 feet early because there's a family gonna walk by and there's a guy on your ass that basically skidded into the back of you, but you're going to stop for the family, and the family gives you that knowing glance as they walk across the street safely. I think doing the New York Times puzzle and Wordle every morning, you know, sun on you, sitting in a chair after a workout, cup of coffee, that's a glimmer. I was in an airport. I'm going to be in airports a lot next few months. I do, when you see a little kid bombing through an airport right about crotch height and they're going to run into you and their parents give you the look like sorry and you kind of smile back because you had kids at 1.2, still do, but had young kids. Glimmer, glimmer, glimmer. I told you in the past I judge my friend groups based on how many inappropriate texts that I receive on holidays or significant events. I'm pleased to report back that I did receive a dirty text for the solar eclipse, you know, kind of an unexpected one, that somebody would have that holstered and, you know, took the time to, you know, that's not what you would think of as the most common holiday, but they had it holstered, right? They were like, hey, how do I put someone's penis into this solar eclipse? Like, how is that a part of this? And they, for me, they were willing to figure that out, which, you know, I really appreciate. And then I can send that dirty text to all of my friends so that at least they have one person in their life when there's a solar eclipse that has found a way to basically take that historic event and turn it into fourth grade humor. That's something I'm very proud of. My dog has a bowl of water outside. It seems to have changed his life. It seems to have changed his status in the world, I would say. Like, he thinks he's really cool drinking the outside water. I would encourage you guys, if you own a dog, have your regular dish in the house, but throw another dish outside. This is the key. You got to have both. You got to have inside water and outside water, okay? And that dog, man, he drinks that outside water, and he's looking at people like, yep, I got outside water. Yeah. Choices in this house. I got the outside H2O. Oh, my. And I got the inside. Yeah, you hear that sound, that collar banging against the metal? You can hear it outside here because sound travels. That's me eating outside water, drinking outside water up on the porch here, elevated. I can see you walking by as I drink my outside water. Change your dog's life. Get him some outside water. I think it's the rough equivalent, as negative as it is to give your like dogs puzzles from Creative Kid Stuff and turn their life into anxiety, giving them an outside water dish, I think, is just as positive. Okay, the theme of this week's episode, when I had the kids home for the Frozen Four, we got into a conversation about Joe Jobs, okay? So Wayne's World, this is a quote from Wayne's World, a movie that probably none of you ever watched. Wayne Campbell from Aurora, Illinois. I've had plenty of Joe Jobs. Nothing I'd call a career. Let me put it this way. I have an extensive collection of name tags and hairnets. Okay, so I still live with my parents, which I admit is both bogus and sad. But at least I have an amazing cable access show. That's what Wayne Campbell tells us about a Joe Job. So to my count, I've had at least 15 Joe Jobs in my life. And which, when I was telling these stories to the kids, it made me realize, like, most people, they don't have that many jobs when they were young. So I don't know what, well, a lot of it is I get fired a lot. That's a lot. I can't go back to the same place. But there was a lot of summers, and then there was a lot of, like, winter breaks, because I would come home from Boston College. I'd have maybe 2 months almost, 6 weeks, and I would need to make more money for spending cash because I was buying Pearl Jam CDs. at Tower Records. I'm super healthy. But so had 15 Joe Jobs. And so the theme of this episode is work ethic. But I'm going to try to give you some lessons from each of these jobs. I'm going to go through them quickly. They're kind of fun. So and I'm going to try to be kind of chronological. I think the first job I had was caddying at Edina Country Club. That sounds really good. Especially when you're a member at Edina Country Club and you're caddying. That's like, that says something. That says something about your values now, doesn't it? So I was an honor caddy eventually. I was a good caddy. I got the deltoids and the calf muscles to prove it. Honor caddy, I would carry two bags, $12 a bag. And then you would usually get tipped up to $40 total. So you would get $24 in fee. $40 if they tipped you well. And so that was $40 for 4 hours of work, $10 an hour. That was a lot of money when you were getting dropped off at a job. I think that job taught me that was probably the best first job to have, because it taught me about like the real, like how work worked. You didn't want to wake up at 6 a.m. Sometimes it was cold. You didn't know if you were going to get out. That was the weirdest thing. So you'd get dropped off, and maybe there weren't enough golfers taking caddies, and then you would get a looper fee or something. You'd get like $10 if nobody came. And if you were really lazy, you kind of wanted that. And you'd be out there, and it was hard. I mean, you were as manual labor. You're carrying 2 golf bags, walking the course, running, kind of crisscrossing the fairway, depending on where they hit it. You also got to see these groups of men and women and kind of their how they talked and how they joked and smoking cigars and the black T-shirts and black golf shirts. You got to kind of be like, oh, this is the world of the country club. These are the people. This is the joy they have. These are their glimmers. So I think the caddy job at ECC, I guess that one taught me work is work, you know. And it was outside, and it was manual, and it smelled like grass, and that was cool, and that was good. I also, about this time, worked at Jerry's Supermarket. I'm like, God, I could have my master's in Edina. I worked at Jerry's, Edina Country Club. I spoke at graduation. I've got it dialed. I think I'm, you know, the most Edina LinkedIn you could ever have. By the way, every kid worked at Jerry's and probably still does. So Jerry's grocery store. The best part about this was Jerry's is one of these grocery stores that has these buckets with numbers on them. So when you check out, you don't carry your groceries. You get a bucket. It might have a picture of a hippo, a picture of an elephant, number 40 and 45. And then you drive around in your car and you hand these 2 plastic rectangles to the bag guy outside, and he puts those 2 corresponding bins into your car. I'm explaining this like you just are an alien landing on Earth, and you probably all know what I'm talking about. But the genius of this was Jerry's was a job that taught me about there's a difference between the worker man and the man. Because when you were a bag boy at Jerry's, man, you were finding any little pocket to be with the other bag boys, and you knew that the boss wasn't like us. So we would sit in the solar salt room. We'd climb up to the top of the solar salt and just sit there and like drink pop and talk. We're still really young, right? So nowadays we'd probably be zinning and vaping and everything, but this is a long time ago. So the best thing we ever achieved at Jerry's ever in the history of my probably 4 months working there is one day we're like, the bag boys are like, hey, there's this monitor, this television, CCTV filming the outside where the people pick up their groceries with the little cards and the buckets. And we're like, hey, let's do a joke, because the bosses always watch the CCTV. We're like, let's never bring the buckets in, and let's try to get the stack to go all the way so that it covers the television, the CCTV. So the boss won't even realize that we're in this red line crisis until he sees a giant gray square cover the camera, because we've achieved the Mount Everest of grocery buckets. You know, we've, and by the way, this thing was so damn high. This must have been like 18 feet high. Like, to put the last bucket, this guy had to shimmy up this thing like a lumberjack, I think, holding the bucket with one hand and then toss it on the top. We were just giggling. I was inside. I did some of the shift outside, so I definitely added to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. But when it actually went over the threshold, I was inside. It was just buzzing. The bag boys were buzzing. We're watching the camera. Still looks pretty normal. You know, it's like watching a Ring camera, right? You're just watching. Okay, it's up on the screen in the side. You know, we're stressed out because there's no buckets to give people. Like, all the buckets are out there, so the bosses are kind of sensing something's off. Finally, we just see this hand, like a dunk, like a NBA dunk, just gets that last bucket up there. The whole screen's like just gray, just covered. And that was a huge achievement for us. Boss basically just got mad and told us we were idiots. And, you know, I think we had to tip it over and bring them in. But it was historic. So I guess the lesson there is The man is different than the worker man. Maybe the worker man has more fun sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. True Value Hardware Store. Now I'm getting to the age. Oh, I skipped one. I did work at Burger King. I still had to bike to that job, so this would be the same era. I never advanced past broiler steamer. I don't know if you know this, but Burger King's burgers are flame broiled. So you would pull out these frozen patties, set them in this conveyor belt, and put them in buns and set them in a steamer. I did occasionally dabble in eating some of the chicken tenders in the freezer when I was hungry. This is not a good idea because the tenders come in specific quantities based on how they sell them. So there would be someone running around going, I only got 8. It's supposed to be a 9-piece. What the hell? Oh my, it's a 12-piece. I only got 10. So this might have added to my quick departure from Burger King. But from the looks of it, the next station was Fry Guy. A lot of acne there. I had had trouble with my skin. It wouldn't have worked anyway. That was Burger King. I guess Burger King just taught me, like, some jobs just suck, and you don't care if you lose them. True Value was when we started to get to the age where we were kind of movie boys in Edina, right? We understood image probably at too young an age, so we wanted to work at cool places, right? So if, like, image places, right? If Soda Pop worked at a gas station, my buddy was going to try to get a job at 76 because he wanted to be like Soda Pop Curtis. Or, you know, if Quentin Tarantino worked at a movie store, then we were going to work at a movie store. I got a job at a hardware store because it seemed sort of all-American, wear the vest. I was at Miracle Mile in St. Louis Park at a True Value. I got fired. While I did look great in the vest, the issue I had was when you work at a hardware store, you got to know everything. And I didn't know anything, so I'm not handy. I wasn't putting in the work at that time to learn anything. So, like, even to this day, when I walk into a hardware store, I go right up to the cashier, who's probably a 14-year-old, and I go, hey, I got to attach my gutter with a piece of metal. It keeps coming off. Aisle 19 in the back, right? So I couldn't do that. And then the line would build up, and I'm supposed to push a button if I need a price check. But I was too rattled that, I mean, I would be like doing a leaf blower, and that wasn't scanning. And I was like, there's like 8 people in line, and I would just slide it down. Like, people probably walked out of there. Like, it probably went around town. It was probably on, like, nextdoor.com. Like, hey, if you want to get a free riding lawnmower, go over to True Value between, you know, 2 and 6 o'clock on Sunday. Kid can't scan. So I don't know what my lesson was there. I guess the lesson there is sometimes the idea of the job is not the same as the job. I did work at Mr. Movies. That was a cool job. At that time, movie makers were coming out of video stores, and it was Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and Tarantino and Richard Rodriguez and all this stuff. So I thought I was going to be, that was like giving me street cred that I had worked at a video store. Now, never mind, I never watched any videos in the store. I wasn't really a cinephile. I liked movies, but I did program into the computer that every time I would go there after I quit working there, a screen would pop up and say, the man in front of you is a very important man to be treated with the utmost respect. Like, this whole diatribe about myself. So I did get some satisfaction bringing dates or going in there with buddies later on and just watching the clerk like think that they were renting a movie to Pablo Escobar. So that was, no lesson there. And then the Kells was a bar I worked at in Boston, Boston College, paid in cash. I was an Irish, my family's from Ireland. I was dating an Irish girl. The owner of this place was an off the boat Irishman named Devin. It was an Irish bar. I was a bouncer. I was like 6'200". Not big enough to be a bouncer in Boston in the city. All I remember about that job that I hated it. I would go there. It was a time of grunge and Green Day, and I could never tell if people were fighting or dancing. guys would walk up to me that were 6'6" and just laugh at me and say, "You're a bouncer?" You know, almost like pushing me, like, "What are you going to do?" But the guys that were bouncers there were animals. They would just beat the shit out of people. That's why they worked there. They worked there so they could beat people up and it wouldn't be a crime. No cell phones, no cameras. They'd just take them out back and beat them up by the parked cars. And one guy had a glass eye, I still remember, which is super weird. But I did love when they would close that big old Irish bar and we would sit in there and have a couple drinks in an empty bar. And you could almost hear like the sounds of the furnace and the, you know, the noises. So I guess my lesson would be there is find the glimmers, I guess I could say, in that case. Hey, we're sponsored by Chill Boys. Chill Boys has some new patterns coming out. They're unbelievable. I'm going to make some content for them, some video. Chill Boys is just great. I heard someone on KFan talking about them the other day. The thing that's funny, so when we do ads, we let our podcasters pick what they want to do generally, and everybody picks Chill Boys. They all love it, and they get the product, and they love it. My biggest difference is, this is off script, but I was an $18 underwear guy my whole life, just adding to that Edina resume, the Calvin Klein's. The problem is they would tear, right? So after a year, you'd have a little hole here, a little hole there, but you keep wearing them because they're $18 underwear, but you look like a guy with torn underwear. These Chill Boys, man, I don't know what they're made with, the bamboo elasticity or whatever, but they're durable. And I know that's not their selling point. Like, they're all about comfort and no friction zone and keeping you cool and Cadillac for the undercarriage. But the other thing they have is durability. If you're going to spend money to get nice underwear, you want to have that nice underwear for a while. And that's what you get with Chill Boys. So check them out, Pull Tab 15. Go to the Chill Boys website. Joe Job number 6. Worked at Coolidge Corner Movie Theater in Boston. They had a silver screen, one of the few movie theaters with a silver screen. All I ever did was, literally, all I ever did was, like, file stuff. I don't even know. It was a horrible job. But again, I was into the idea of the job. I'm a film studies minor. I work at the Coolidge Corner Movie Theater. They have a silver screen. In 3 months, they might play a cool movie. Even today, it sounds kind of interesting to my daughter who lives in Boston, but like it was the dumbest job in the world. I never did anything cool ever. So that's the lesson on that job. Like, you got to enjoy what you're doing. It can't just be a badge. You can't work for the Twins, so you can tell everybody you work for the Twins, but all you do is shovel up, you know, hot dog buns in the parking lot. Like, that's no good. So that was the Coolidge Corner Movie Theater. I worked at Accounts Payable in Boston College. Paid every bill that the school paid, we like stamped and cataloged and sorted. I think the lesson there is, you know, there's just some stuff you don't want to know. I'm sure they don't have students doing this job now. Priests like to drink a lot of wine. College coaches get a lot of perks. I think the lesson there is, like, sometimes ignorance is bliss, you know. I worked at the Gap. This is a little bit out of order. The Gap has a thing called greet something, add on, close, thank. Like, Gap Act is what they call it. That's your mnemonic. I was demoted at the Gap. I was supposed to be a greeter in Southdale. Helped them open the Mall of America store, by the way. You're welcome. But they would be like, "Hey, we notice when you're greeting people, you don't ask them how the weather is or how their day's going." And I was like, "Well, I don't really care about that. I don't even know those people. Why would I ask them how their day's going? They're strangers." So that was straight to the stock room after that. Not a strong interview. Probably spent most of my money on pocket tees back then. Did work in an Australian restaurant. I don't know what the lesson on the Gap is. I don't know. Maybe don't always speak the truth when you're you know, maybe have a filter is what I should have learned there. Man, this is amazing how many jobs I had. Worked at Billabong Australian Restaurant as a busboy right off 494. I think I worked there as I was preparing to go to Australia to study abroad. That seems like a horrible idea, to work at an Australian-themed restaurant before you go to Australia. I think the lesson here is this was the first time I could drive, you know, was working with other young people. There was like a social scene. I think kids should do that in their life. You should work at like a bar or a restaurant with a bunch of other people your age, or a summer camp or whatever it is. It was pretty amazing. It was just fun, you know, kind of getting into some trouble. It was good. I was a temp worker a lot as well. This adds to my list of Joe jobs, but I might be taking metal stickers from Pheasants Forever that are going to go on cars. So like the members get a sticker for the year, almost like a parking tab. And I would just be putting those in envelopes all day for 8 hours. The lesson there is you don't want to do a job like that. That sucks. And then another time I was selling ketchup on my back and with a big jetpack for Grand Lyon. That's right. Grand Lyon was making a run at the Mighty Heinz back in the day. They were unsuccessful, as it turns out. I used to wear a beret, work events at PV Plaza, white shirt. I was kind of like, that was probably about as studly as I ever got, so I did some business. There were lots of people that took ketchup that probably didn't want ketchup. Certainly not the off-brand ketchup, but I was able to move units. I did have one incident where the ketchup exploded all over a woman, but the handlers from Grand Lyon, maybe real French people, sort of solved that situation for me. I guess the lesson there is sometimes it's just fun. Ridiculous is fun. I mean, me selling ketchup with a beret on while like Tim Mahoney is playing in Minneapolis is basically the same thing as telling that 14-year-old to put a suit on and go try to interview college hockey players and we'll put it on social media, right? Sometimes just say yes. It might work. I did work for the city of Edina for multiple years, probably my most steady Joe job. Worked at the greenhouse at Arneson Acres. I got real lessons from this job. We had this awesome boss named Tim. It was the same crew every year. We did screw around a lot, but we basically learned if you do the work, you can have some fun. If you get the work done. So Tim instilled in us, like, we really respected Tim. And if we fucked around from the start and all the gardens in the city of Edina looked terrible and they weren't weeded and people were saying, I mean, that was, he was really proud of that. That was his reputation, right? And he wanted those gardens to look amazing. So we basically worked for about a month every summer, worked hard, did it how you're supposed to do it. And then it was maintenance. You know, once you weeded all those gardens perfectly the first time, you know, they can only grow so much in a week. We had plenty of drive-bys looking out the window. Did it multiple years because you got hired back because you did a good job. A lot of people came into the city of Edina trying to joke around like, hey, I heard you guys fuck around at the city. And they would come in and just start screwing around from the start. They'd go home and park the city truck in their garage and just sleep all day. And they wouldn't last because that's not how it works, man. You got to earn it, you know. You got to do the work, and then you can have some fun. So work hard, play hard, I guess, would be the lesson from the city of Edina. I do got to mention Sheldon Frank from Summit. If any of you are buying a house, Minnesota or Wisconsin, it's not super easy. But NMLS 213346, Sheldon Frank and Summit can take care of you. They did it for us. We've been in our house for like almost 18 months, but he helped me with it, you know. He helped me with, you know, getting approved and interest rates and when to take the leap and when to not to. He was white glove service the entire way. He's buttoned up. He didn't make mistakes, and because he's a hockey guy and only has pucks, there's no balls to drop. So obviously you can trust Sheldon Frank. If you're looking to buy a house in Minnesota or Scotty, reach out, get pre-approved, call Sheldon, 612-232-1872, Summit Mortgage Corporation, ML, LS number 1041 is an equal housing opportunity lender. I'm almost done with the Joe jobs. I would like to know if any listener has more Joe jobs than I do. I'm at 16. I only counted two of the temp jobs, so I'm probably at 15. Temp being one of them. ProStaff was the company I used to temp with. Extreme Sports and Marketing. I moonlighted with my wife's boss, had a non-compete, and man, did we do some crazy stuff. We would work Waterama. We worked the Gay Pride Festival. We were typically slinging Coke and Surge and Sprite and Diet Coke out of big iced buckets. I distinctly remember getting screamed at by the Coke rep because I walked up with a Mountain Dew bottle. I think what that job taught me was when you're at the turnstile. Now, the turnstile for us was a plastic tub filled with beverages, 20-ounce bottles of product, but you could see everything. You could be like, oh, you know, these guys drink a lot of Sprite. Oh, here's who drinks Diet Coke. Okay, Surge is all teenagers. You could really learn business by being where the cash changes hands. It's like a lot of CEOs will say, if you never worked the turnstile, you don't know the business. So I did enjoy that job. I had to drive trucks that I didn't have licenses for. I stuck a semi up on one of those spacers by the gas station that are preventing you from knocking over the gas tank. Had to have another truck driver get in the vehicle and shake it off. That was extreme sports. I worked at a place called Moving Pictures, I think it was called, or something like that. I was a gaffer or a production assistant. I think we filmed a music video where Denny Green from the Vikings was a drummer. And and we filmed like the music video. He was playing with like the saxophonist from Johnny Carson or something. You can look this up. And my job was basically to tape down chords so Denny Green wouldn't trip over the chords. I was a gaffer. That was kind of cool, though. That was like different than Coolidge Corner. It was like trying to do the thing you liked, and some of the stuff I did was cool. I did have to do a lot of cataloging of video. But some of the video was really interesting, and I learned from watching it because they had an interesting mix of products. I think they invited me to come back. I said no. So I think the lesson there is, don't say no to something just because not every aspect of it is perfect. I see a lot of that with young people today. They want their job to be the perfect job on LinkedIn, and they want everything to be great every day that they're there. That's just not how it works. It's like playing around at golf. As long as you get a few good shots, you keep coming back. That's how you should think about your job sometimes, not all the time. And then finally, I worked at the show To Be Named Later. When I left Fallon, I was a writer for a TV show. I was not paid to do that, so I probably can't count it, but I was a legit writer. I was in the credits, and that's where the Hockey Hair team was born out of. So I guess the lesson there is sometimes, inspiration comes in the least likely of places. Like sometimes it's like even meeting my wife, like I was just kind of, relaxed. I was home for winter break. I wasn't even looking really. I wasn't so focused on, are we a great match on paper? It was just like, it was just fun. It was a good fit, right? And so sometimes that's what happens with your professional life as well, right? You just stumble into something and it's great. I remember Martin Zeller said most of his successes started out as jokes, right? She's Happy by the Gear Daddies was a mean song, Making fun of the people in his town. But as he's gotten older, he realizes that that woman is wonderful. Zamboni was a FU song to the label, ends up being one of his biggest hits. And even the Neil Diamond cover band was kind of him sort of screwing around. And he ended up, he probably makes, a decent chunk of his income doing the Neil Diamond cover stuff now. So I have one more ad read to do. I got to think about what this is. Okay, so I know that all four of them start with C. So I've done... No, man, I've done them all. Cub, Sheldon, Custom One, and Chill Boys. Oh, good work. Hey, just to finish, I don't know what song to put at the end of this. I think I'm going to put Johnny Paycheck, Take This Job and Shove It. I know there was a new Taylor Swift that came out this week, but there's like a million songs. I'm still trying to figure out if any of them are any good. I'm working on it. But I'm going to go with Johnny Paycheck, Take This Job and Shove It. Not because that's how I really feel about jobs, but find your lessons in your Joe jobs. And remember, drink that outside water. Get it.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. The woman I love just left and took what I've been working for. And don't you try and stop me, 'cause I'm walking out the door. You can take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Well, I've been working in this factory now 15 years. I've seen my woman die in a pool of tears. Seen a lot of good folk die. They had a lot of bills to pay. But I'd give the shirt right off of my back if I had the guts to say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.